Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What a gutsy performance by Tua yesterday. Kept the team within one score on the road against a very good Houston team, a depleted offensive line. Gutsy performance by Tua. And that's what you need out of your guy. You wish the guys around him could have stepped up a little bit, but what a gutsy performance by Tua. They're within a score at the end of the game. They just need a score and a two-point conversion.
Fella was garbage. What are you talking about? He was looking for DJ Stingley every play. Like, stop throwing it over by him. Leave him alone. That was terrible, man.
I got fooled again heading into this week. I said I was going to get fooled again. And by the way, I'll get fooled again. As long as this hamster wheel is in action, I will continue to get fooled week by week.
He's going to bounce back. 49ers game, he's taking off.
They're going to go 3-0 the remaining games this season, and I am going to maintain that you do not make a single change going into next year, because I will have that memory of those three games. I have the memory of a goldfish.
Just move on forward. If I've been hungry for 5 minutes, I've been hungry my whole life.
But let me give you a little context, though, before we do the Tua thing and the whatever. Marcel Louis-Jacques, who covers the Dolphins for ESPN, points out on Twitter, career high 4 turnovers today for Tua Tagovailoa. This was his second multi-interception game of the season, the first since week 2. Mm-hmm. The Texans gave the Dolphins every opportunity to win this game. Miami's offense turned in a dud. All I would say is this, to give it a little context. That's a career worst game for Tua. Mm-hmm. Everyone is going to have a career worst game at some point. And so as much as everyone's going to accuse me of doing recency praises, you all are going to do the exact same thing, because it's one day removed from his absolute worst performance. It's one day removed. So you guys are going to do it, and I've got no leg to stand on because that's the most recent game. All I'm telling you is everything that you're going to accuse me of doing with Tua, you are going to do today. Because you are going to pick out his worst game in his career, arguably, and tell me that's the indicator of who he is as a quarterback. So go ahead, do whatever you got to do. I'm just telling you, you're doing the exact same thing.
Hawk, and I'll agree with you. I'm not. Tua didn't keep his team in the game. I can't go with that, but he
one
did.
One game at the end on the road. What more can you ask for?
He was so pressured. I cashed tickets on sacks from Houston. I had three guys. I had a parlay of three guys getting sacks, three of their guys, whatever was on the thing. I knew they were going to get after him, and then he's going to start having to try to make something happen. He wasn't getting the ball out of his hand. He was trying to extend plays with a bad offensive line. He didn't play well, but the offensive line was terrible. That was ridiculous how fast people were on him yesterday. It was they were turnstiles. I was listening to Solana and Tobin talk about Liam Eichenberg being the best option to move out to tackle. I'm like, Liam Eichenberg is now our savior? We are in trouble today. That's when I put all my bets in after listening to Solana and them talk about it on a pregame.
Yeah, the offensive line obviously didn't do them any favors. And Tyreek Hill did not do Tua any favors yesterday. I'll read you one more tweet from Marcel.
He had both hands on that last interception. Both hands on the ball.
Bring it in and hold on to it. Bring it in and hold on to it. You're getting paid a ton of money to do that. Like, if you want to spread some culpability around on those interceptions, you got to spread some to Tyreek. And Marcel Louis-Jacques tweeted this. Texans put vibranium clamps on the Dolphins' top pass catchers today, Tyreek specifically. He'll finish the game, averaging 1.8 yards of separation. He was the target on all three of Tua's interceptions. Tua had an 8.9 passer rating when targeting Tyreek. He had an 87.5 passer rating when targeting anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So, as quickly as everyone wants to go, two of this and two of that and two of this and two of that. Nah, ain't happening on this show. No, sir.
But Tua should have stayed away from Stingley.
Oh, he stunk yesterday. I'm not telling you he didn't stink. I'm just telling you to take an epically stinky performance and say that's who Tua is while ignoring all the other great performances and giving them the context, to explain it away. Well, it wasn't against a good defense, and it wasn't on the road. I got it. I'm with you. I'm just telling you, you can't take that performance and say that's indicative of who Tua is, because you have to give it the context of what happened to the offensive line. You're missing three guys. What happened to Tyreek Hill? Why isn't he catching that ball? Does Jonnu Smith catch that ball? Because I think he does. So, you know, you can pick his performance apart yesterday. Listen, McDaniel got out-coached. Chris Greer got out-personnelled. And Tua got outplayed. There's no argument on any of those. But to use this one game as the indicator of everything you've been trying to prove, to me, is folly. But go ahead and try to do it, Solana.
I'm not going to do it with Tua. I think the numbers speak for themselves. You want to say one game isn't indicative of a career's worth of a sample size? That's fine. But, Hawk, here's the bottom line. With Tua, and to me yesterday, the game's over. I'm not outraged at Tua. I'm not pinning this loss solely on Tua. This is, without a doubt, a mediocre at best football team, period, end of story. Tua is 1-10 in the last 2 years against playoff teams. He's 6-14 in the McDaniel era against teams with winning records, and Mike McDaniel dropped to 6-17 against teams with winning records, 3-14 on the road. If that is not the epitome of what I've been saying all year, which is this team is good, but they can't beat great teams, then I don't know what is. There's your sample size.
And this
size.
Wasn't even a great team that they were playing.
It wasn't arguably maybe
a little bit better than average.
And you're right. The context is necessary. Pat Paul, who has barely played this year, a rookie starting left tackle. Jackson Toyota Man on the right side, who has never started a game at tackle in his life. Liam Eichenberg, who probably shouldn't be on an NFL roster, is starting at guard. And you're in a situation where one of your best wide receivers leaves the game. Half the guys you drafted aren't even available to play in this football game. It's not solely on Tua. was an awful performance. It's not solely on Tua. He has to play better. There's no doubt. This is just not a good football team. Like, period. And I don't know how anybody could suggest otherwise when you look at how they've been built, how they're bereft of talent, and just look at the numbers I'm reading you. 6-17 against winning record
We've
teams.
We've seen the roster, though. How are they bereft of talent?
They're not bereft
that's
of talent.
That's the part that I find maddening is just to say that, you know, in a vacuum, when you've got Jalen Ramsey and Tyreek Hill and Tua and Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb, I'm talking about high-paid guys.
Yeah.
Like, to say that they're bereft of talent is crazy talk.
They're top-heavy. Just like I was telling you,
that's fair.
Early yes. early in the year, and how do good teams become great? Other than getting Patrick Mahomes, right? How? By building out a balanced roster. Barry Jackson had such a great breakdown in the Herald comparing.
I'm going to read it for you. Yeah. I have it. I'm going to read it. For
I won't go.
It, okay. It is like it's a thesis on what has gone wrong.
I won't go into it then, but I will just say Nico Collins, third round pick. The guy's a stud. The Dolphins have to go overpay for great receivers. And then in the biggest...
Our third-round pick was Eric Ezukama.
Correct. And in our biggest games, those guys aren't making plays. What do you do with that?
But I am going to tell you quickly, based on yesterday, I am not moving off my position that Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa are the same quarterback. Tua will one day be spoken about as the greatest Dolphins quarterback in history. And I also think Odell Beckham can still be a difference maker in this offense.
I was watching Get Up this morning, Greeny and them. They were talking about the Detroit Lions, how they're on their fifth and sixth string linebacker. They're on their seventh string nickelback. They're on their fourth string D tackle. And they're still, and they lost to Buffalo. But hell, it was a 48-42 game. Like, they were competing with the team. That's what when I thought about the Dolphins, I was like, yeah, we get one or two guys hurt, it's curtains for us. They're
competing. But is that a mentality thing? Because those guys can't be that much better than our, you know, fill in pieces. So does that go back to the Dan Campbell versus Mike McDaniel style of coaching?
I think it goes back to the why did we keep Skylar Thompson here for three seasons as the backup? Are you really evaluating these people to see if they can play ball? Or are you falling in love with guys because they're nice dudes and their wife and your wife go to dinner together? Because there's no way that the Detroit Lions' fifth-string linebacker should be better than our first-string linebacker. But they are. They're still playing. They're still competing.
Anywho. You have that phone call that called into Tobin and Leroy today?
I do, yeah. On.
Oh, you'd be
phone caller.
Be right.
We don't take callers, but just if we did, today's calls would all sound like this.
Somebody needs to bring me Hawkman, and I want his gallon of McRib sauce on a platter today, bro. Okay? I never want to hear that guy compare Tua to Dan Marino. Not even on the last game at Jayville did Dan Marino play that horrible, bro. So I need a body, bro. The streets need a body. We're not getting a body because the media is protecting the bodies. I need Mark Hawkman and that gallon of McRib sauce. No Diddy, bro. ASAP.
Now, allow me to tell you Dan Marino's stats from that Jacksonville game. 11 of 25. For 95 yards passing with two interceptions and two fumbles. So, caller, shove it up your butt.
Tua did not have a very good game, Hawk.
But Dan Marino had a worse game in that Jacksonville game.
I'm with you on taking somebody's worst moment and making it who they are, but yeah, man.
We have a great prize every day this week. I'm so excited about this concert. Toto, if you watch the Yacht Rock documentary on HBO, they did this deep dive into Toto and whether Toto should be part of the Yacht Rock genre, and they are. Toto is coming to the I Think Financial Amphitheater with Christopher Cross and Men at Work. This is a lineup that if I was crafting out of stone, I wouldn't be smart enough to put these three acts together. I just saw Men at Work in concert at the Broward Center a couple months ago. But anyway, we're going to have tickets every day this week. Toto coming to the I Think Financial Amphitheater next July with Men at Work and Christopher Cross. We'll give away a pair every single day this week. Just keep listening to win. It's a Live Nation show. John Michaels is going to join us today. Adam Beasley from Pro Football Network is going to join us today. He wrote a column yesterday calling for the firing of Chris Greer, saying, Stephen Ross, you have to put your personal friendship aside and do what's right now for the team. This does seem to be a straw that broke the camel's back kind of game for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Yes.
It is for me too. I'm goofing around here in the first segment. But yeah, Tua was absolute garbage yesterday. And it played out exactly the way that I get fooled every game. And I'm telling you, they're going to win the next three games. And then we're going to have a scenario where eight teams need to lose and four teams need to tie on the last weekend. And I'm going to think it might happen. And then I'm going to say, you know what? Everything's fine going into next year.
It is not. And it's not to Solana's point. I didn't know those stats about, you know, teams with winning records. You were watching that game as a Dolphin fan, knowing that they are better than you the entire game. I know it was an 8-point game. But the entire game, you were like, they're a more dominant football team than we are. That's a bad feeling. Some of those games, the Chiefs games last year, a couple of those Buffalo games, because Buffalo's owned us. One of y'all said yesterday, they're our daddies. But you think in the fourth quarter, you're like, okay, we get the ball back. We might be able to score down by four. Yesterday, I'm watching that game, and I'm like, the Texans, there's no chance we can beat them.
Not
there's
when Tua's playing that way. Not when Tua's playing that way. Sometimes he gives you a little bit of a feeling like he's got a little magic up his sleeve. You knew early on this was not Tua's game.
And it was a jailbreak every time the ball was snapped offensively with that O-line. That was sad to see those guys get run around like that.
Quick look at the headlines with Solana, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
Do you guys want the path to the playoffs still? Like, are we ready for that, or are we just, we don't want to?
All right, give me a little something. All go right, ahead.
Here we go.
Yeah, hockey. They're going 3-0, Solana.
The Dolphins.
They are going to go. What do they have? They've got the Jets.
They got the
Niners.
They got the Niners at home on Sunday. And then they're at Cleveland, which is currently a Sunday night football game. And then they finish out their season at the New York Jets.
Which probably won't even be Jameis against the Dolphins because he's stunk it up the last couple of games.
1-2.
What needs to happen if we finish 1-2 to get into the playoffs?
Well, we're not beating the Niners, fellas. I'm just breaking
Dolphins are 2.5-point favorites over San Fran on Sunday.
They're at home, and they're already dogs because it's not three.
So the Dolphins must win out. The Colts need to lose one game. They host Tennessee, then they're at the Giants. And then they host Jacksonville. So three.
Did you say the Dolphins need to win out? Was that the first thing you said?
The Dolphins must win out, period.
Okay.
They have to win out. And by the way, they're not even going to be a 10-win team, even if they do win out, which is, you know, in itself not good. But the Colts play Tennessee at home at the New York Giants and then versus Jacksonville. They need to lose one of those games against three of the worst teams in football. And
yeah,
then,
but if Anthony Richardson is playing, you have a very good chance of losing one of those games.
For sure. And then either one of these two things need to happen. The Chargers need to lose two games. They host Denver, at New England, at Las Vegas, or the Broncos have to lose out. They're at the Chargers, at Cincinnati, and home versus Kansas City.
That seems implausible only because Kansas City's not going to have anything to play for. Denver probably will.
Well, maybe not, because the Buffalo Bills yesterday, I said it on the pregame show, we were low-key.
And maybe Mahomes won't even be playing because he's injured. So maybe they can. Oh, no, that would be bad.
No. You want the Bills to still have a chance at the one seed, which forces, because they own the tiebreaker over Kansas City.
KC need to win that last week at Denver.
If the Bills win out, Kansas City has to win out to lock up the one seed. So they would have to play, if they are going to prioritize, which I imagine they would, having the one seed. But the idea of the Broncos losing, those are all three very good teams. At the Chargers is a tough game. I think that's Thursday Night Football. At Cincinnati, yesterday, Joe Burrow, another masterclass. Sorry, Hawk. And then home versus Kansas City.
Could have happened on a worse week for me. I mean, that was like literally the week that I held up Tua and Joe Burrow as the same quarterback. For them to put in those disparate performances, not in my favor, by the way, worst case scenario.
Joe can play ball, Hawk.
Luckily, we have Dan Marino's final game in Jacksonville as some sort of, you know, counterbalance.
So the Miami Dolphins, according to the playoff predictor from the New York Times, are down to a 5% chance of making the playoffs.
All right.